And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
We've seen the story before. We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
When did we become machines that we get triggered and we can't control ourselves?
Great question.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
I also like to apologize for burning down our house when I was 7 years old. I don't remember ever apologizing for that, but.
Welcome to Point of Contention, 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. That's Jade Hoy producing. Coming up on the show. Oh my God, the Suns set the Warriors, the battle for New York. No LeBron, no problem. Tampering solved, and everyone's favorite MVP odds. Let's get to our two contestants in this corner from the super soft streets of Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book Smart Decisions, a Celtics Guide to Good Offense. It's Jay the Kid King, who's now referring to himself as the God in text messages. Jay, here's a cracker. Hummus or French onion dip?
Neither of them. Give me some cheese.
That's it?
Give me some cheese. I don't need this hummus crap.
Cheese being a metaphor for money, right?
No. Cheese. Give me
just cheese, like cheese
cheddar.
Whiz? Like a
give
slice
you,
of
give
cheese?
You some soft white
cheese. Give me... Don't give me hummus.
Keep you don't
your,
like hummus?
Keep your hummus out of my face.
What?
I'm not a hummus guy.
In this corner, Bay Area legend, author of 2 books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now. Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. The one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, Dynasties, 10 GOAT teams, or War and Peace?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Dynasties. I mean, War and Dynasties literally has War and Peace on the inside. Do you know what those Bird Magic rivalries were like? That was
Ooh.
War, baby. That
see
was
Kurt
war.
Rambis get clothes-lined?
You know what I'm saying?
You
see
that
Danny Ainge out here? Yeah, this was war.
Magic showed up to the retirement ceremony for Bird. That wasn't peace. Come on now.
You know, Isaiah
That's
Thomas against
is.
Jordan. The war war's still going on.
Still going.
I got your War and Peace right here, Dynasties.
10-hour commercial for Michael Jordan. Still throwing Isaiah under the bus.
Literally.
Still. Doesn't matter.
By the way, I'm with Jay on the hummus thing.
Hummus is suspect.
You don't like hummus? You guys are out of your minds.
Nah, I can't.
You're the only pro-hummus person on this podcast.
Jade, you got to be pro-hummus. The hummus with like the little like it, Jade's giving me a thumbs up. The hummus with like a little like red pepper, red bell pepper in the mixed into the middle. You don't
nah.
do any of that.
Nah.
Give me like cheese. A garlic hummus.
Hummus, so I just can't
give me
it,
cheese.
With
yeah,
hummus.
How could you not? Yeah.
I'm not that War and Peace, bro. Like, you know.
War and Peace is a stupid title. It's like calling a book Make or Miss League. Like, it's just stupid. It's a War and Peace League. It's a Make or Miss League. Just stupid. Here's one thing. Here's the
world,
the opposite. Stupid.
Hot or Cold is my next book.
Up
All
or
right.
down.
That should
the
suffice.
Memoirs of Marcus Thompson.
That should suffice for the parenthetical banter. Jade, start the clock. A Western Conference preview? That's right, folks. Tuesday night. The game certainly lived up to the hype as the Suns and Warriors squared off in a potential Western Conference Finals preview. The Suns won their 17th straight game, tying the franchise record with a 104-96 win over Steph Curry and the Dubs. Speaking of Steph, not a very good game for him. Locked down by Mikal Bridges, the mayor of Clamp City. Most of the night, Curry finished with just 12 points and needed 14 three-point shots, making only 3 of them. Jay, play the tune.
Aiden's first points of the second quarter. Curry goes right by him. This time, denied by Bridges.
Meanwhile, Suns DeAndre Ayton pulled a game-high 24 points and 11 rebounds. He was a beast. Some might say he maxed out last night. Except Robert Sarver, he wouldn't say that. He would be cheap and, you know, reportedly say something horrible in response to that. The game featured 7 lead changes, and I said reportedly, so you can't sue us, Robert Sarver. 7 lead changes and was tied 10 times. Suns edged the Warriors 46-40 in points in the paint and 39-33 in bench points. Warriors totaled 22 turnovers and scored just 42 points in the second half. Draymond Green summed it up perfectly. Jade played that tape.
Played very well defensively. You know, they took a lot of stuff away. They didn't make any mistakes. You know, so they were very good defensively. Got to give them a lot of credit.
What did you think the root cause of the turnovers was tonight?
I think overpassing.
One note here, Devin Booker did leave the game in the second quarter with a strained hamstring. Suns Warriors Part 2 is on Friday night at the Chase Center. Marcus, what's your biggest takeaway from this game? And are the 18-3 Warriors maybe not as good as we thought coming into this week?
I've been pumping my brakes the whole season. It's amazing, too, by the way. A little side. Suddenly Phoenix is good? Did we not see Phoenix play incredibly well? Did somebody not predict the Phoenix Suns would make the finals last year?
Jay, don't play that tape.
Maybe on this show? Like, the sudden, oh, my God, I guess Phoenix is actually good, was kind of weird. Like, they didn't do anything they haven't been doing for the last 16 games or last year in the playoffs. So they are actually good. But with that said, my great takeaway is this is really good for the Warriors. This is great for the Warriors, actually. Look, Steph was terrible.
Yeah.
And as good as Mikal Bridges is, and he's literally one of my absolute favorite, arguably the best role player in basketball, he's not that good. Steph was acting like this dude was Scottie Pippen out here. He wasn't even trying him, right?
Put it on the audiogram. Quote,
Marcus Thompson on Mikal Bridges. He's not that good.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Steph didn't even really try him. Like, he didn't do any ISO. And I know they had the bracket thing going, but Steph was he was weird. He took one mid-range shot. It was like either he was shooting the three or he was driving into DeAndre Ayton. Which wasn't, it's not the game plan. Yeah. I don't know what he was
also
doing.
Also doesn't work out, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't work out. So Steph was terrible, and they were in the game. DeAndre Ayton did his thing, and they were still kind of afloat. It was like, okay, they got brutalized at the rim, and they kind of held their own. Obviously, not having Devin Booker was a big deal, but I don't think it's bad for the Warriors to walk away thinking Phoenix is better. Like, they have to grow as a team. They've been kind of like mollywopping teams, and they haven't really felt this. I think it's good that they felt that. That's a different defense. That's a different offense. Some of them guys, they felt it. And I'm going to let Jay go, but we got to come back to this because, Zach, you got to get it about something. But go ahead, Jay.
Jay, real quick. I hate to name drop, but I was talking to Festus Azili, 2015 NBA champion on SiriusXM NBA Radio Channel.
I wasn't
86,
prepared for the Festus
Channel
86 Azili
on your dial. Also, he and I went to the same high school, very far apart. And he said similar things to what Marcus said. So maybe this is the right perspective on the Warriors losing Tuesday night to the Suns. Or Jay, maybe a little propaganda being passed around the Bay.
I think I do agree they needed it.
First off, he's in Sacramento, right?
They needed.
I don't know where he's.
they need it because they've got a lot of guys who haven't been there with them before. Like, it's easy to look at this team and see how well they're playing, how well they're defending, and think this Warriors team is just like another version of what they were 3-4 years ago. But they've got so many pieces: Jordan Poole, Gary Payton, Bielitsa, Otto Porter, like, that just haven't been there with them, been there under the pressure of, you know, the biggest games against Phoenix, the 16-game win streak, all of that. So I was actually, like, mildly impressed the Warriors stayed in the game while playing as bad as they did offensively. Steph was as bad as he'll ever be. They had a million turnovers, and still, you know, fourth quarter, they're in that game. So I just think their defense is on another level, the Warriors' defense. And then I was so impressed by Phoenix, man. Like, their defensive flexibility is unreal. Ayton's out there sticking with Steph. Mm-hmm. So like how many 7-footers, and he's a legit 7-footer, like he's huge.
Yeah.
And he's out there moving his feet with Steph. That stuff is really, really impressive. These are by far the two best teams in the league. It's not even close. They're light years ahead of everybody at this point in time. Other teams can catch up. But those two teams, especially defensively, are just so far beyond anyone else right now.
Marcus, what slander do you have for me?
The difference with Phoenix, it was weird. The Warriors really, they looked like they didn't see like a overplaying, trapping kind of bracket defense. But the difference with Phoenix is that back line dude is legit 7 foot, right? It's not like a 6'7" guy who Steph could kind of finish over. Like, it's going to be tough to finish at the rim. So they've got to figure it out. But you know who did show up? Zach Harper. Mm. You know who was game and carried the Warriors? The very guy that I told you was nice and you've been hating on as I was telling you he was nice. It's time for you to put some respect not only on Jordan Poole's name, but on my early assertion that Jordan Poole was that dude and a budding all-star.
This is just Marcus victory lap day, huh? First it's the Suns take from last year. Now it's Jordan Poole. Like, come on, Marcus.
I mean, where am I wrong, though? I mean, was Zach not on my case about overhyping Jordan Poole? And then in the biggest game of the year, who was balling? I don't want to see your numbers. I want you to see the moment. I want you to feel what you felt. When you were watching that game, you felt Jordan Poole was carrying the Warriors. Ain't that what you felt?
Carried him to a loss.
He did, bro. It was him. He was going at them dudes by himself.
I just got to check something. Who Marcus Thompson once deemed the next Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's worst three-point season is 40.1% from three. And Jordan, cut his mic. And then Jordan Poole right now is 34.7% from three, which I believe is a career high.
Honestly, that's not that exactly. bad considering some of the shots he takes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I just need you to recognize it,
Jordan Poole. When you're shooting reckless shot attempts and you're at 35%, like, I'm almost impressed.
It's odd that during the 7-game stretch in which he shot 21% from three, I didn't hear from Marcus too much.
You actually did. But, you know, I guess. Because I was hearing from you about it. As if somehow it felt like
a very one-sided conversation, you know. I don't know, Marcus.
I'm on wax, yo. Jordan Poole, let's go.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right. Speaking of battles, guys, the Battle of New York. Jade, I need some kind of New York-ass music here. The Battle of New York. Jade, play the tape.
New York-ass music.
Double fucking overtime! What the fuck, baby? New York is fucking back!
Knicks are here, baby! The Knicks are fucking here, baby!
Fresh out the garden, baby! We're taking it all the way!
We have De Blasio, we have Cuomo, it was rough shit, but we have the Knicks! Run New York! Knicks, run New York City!
Bing bong!
Coming up, so KD, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
Let's go, Knicks! Let's go, Knicks!
Real talk, I'm from New York, and you know what? Tom Brady's a fucking bitch! Fuck Tom Brady, yo! Fuck Tom Brady!
Where the bread at, Tom Brady? I need some bread, nigga, he owes me!
Fuck Boston!
Yo, you thought Trae Young was still good? He still ain't good at night, man! You smoking on that Boston pack tonight, you right?
Fuck Trae Young! Fuck Trae Young! Fuck Trae Young! Fuck Trae Young!
Sorry, Knicks fans, but James Harden is back. Harden finished with 34 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, and the Nets won for the 13th time in 16 games to improve to 15-6 atop the Eastern Conference. It was a nail-biter until the end as the Nets won 112-110. Harden dominated from the start, scoring 15 of Brooklyn's first 21 points. in the first 8 minutes of the game. The rest was a Harden highlight reel, the step back, the step through, dribbling all around guys, scored 28 points on 8 of 12 shooting, including 3 of 5 from deep, and in attacking the rim, found his way to the foul line to make 9 of 10 free throws. Maybe, just maybe, not so bad after all, James, these new rule changes. Jade, play the tape.
Mills, offensive rebound. His three.
The night finished with some drama, too. Julius Randle assessed a technical foul with a minute 36 left in the fourth quarter after he thought he was fouled on a missed shot with the game tied at 105. Kevin Durant hit an 18-footer after that. It sank the technical free throw that they called on Randle. Jade played that tape as well.
Durant and KD. Durant for the lead. A bona fide hitman. Doesn't care about the score, the situation. Kevin Durant.
I don't want to hear that from Julius Randle. With all due respect, shut the hell up. I don't want to hear that. I watched this game last night. Let me be very, very clear about what I'm about to say. I was actually proud of the Knicks. You down 18, you come back, you take the lead, you walk into the Barclays Center, you take over. There were no damn Nets fans. I'm like, Brooklyn, stand up, my, you know what? It was Knicks in the house. It was New York, stand up. They showed the city what this is all about. Who really represents New York? Who really represents the Mecca? It ain't Brooklyn.
You come down with a game on the wire, and because you are upset that you don't get a call, Kevin Durant boogie joined you and pulled up in your face with Jay. It's Kevin Durant. Yo, Jay, remember this? You know who I am. He's Kevin Durant. Guess what, Julius Randle? You're not. You're not going to get those calls. Damn it, you didn't know that? You didn't know that?
Head coach Tom Thibodeau was none too pleased after the game, questioning the officiating by none other than NBA Fall Guy, Scott Foster. He said, I want to watch a film, but something's not right. Jay, was something not right in the Battle of New York, or another case of those great, sweet Connecticut sour grapes?
I mean, you didn't get a call against Kevin Durant and James Harden. You're not the first team that's ever not gotten a call against those guys. You won't be the last team that's not gotten a call against those guys. I'm just happier that Knicks Nets means something now. It means something.
Does it?
And yes, yes, okay. Yes. It means something to Knicks fans at least.
There it is. Okay.
And if there are Nets fans, it means something to them too. James Harden, that was a huge game for him. It's weird that we look at a 34-10-8 game from him and are like, oh yeah, that's new this year. It's not what he's been like every night, because he's been like that every night for 5-6 years. I just think the Knicks, after benching Kemba Walker, which was shocking
for Alec Burks,
they'll be able to get back to their defensive identity. I think it got lost because they brought in Kemba and Fournier, and they needed more offense, they needed more scoring. But those are two guys who are liabilities defensively, and for a team last year that had basically zero weaknesses, weak links on that end of the court. So they needed to get back to defense. I think as tough as it must have been to bench Kemba, this is more the type of team now that Thibodeau probably wants. So I'm curious to see how they move on from this with Kemba, you know, out of the rotation now.
Yeah, Marcus, Shaq was telling Julius Randle, like, you can't whine, you can't complain about not getting calls because you're stronger than everybody. You got to just go be a beast. And
Shaq never did, right?
Right, Shaq never did, but Shaq's also like 4 inches and like 80 pounds heavier. Four inches taller, 80 pounds heavier.
Julius Randle is like the strongest man alive, though. Julius Randle can move anybody.
Julius Randle's strong, but
he's like Steven Adams' strength.
He couldn't move James Harden in the post. Yes, Rockets fans, I remember James Harden, good post defender, 4 times a game. All right, so Marcus, is Julius Randle just complaining here, or does he have something to truly like harp on?
No, he's complaining, but he doesn't have anything. Like, this is NBA basketball. Like, this is par for the course. As much as I hate when people say it, because it's mostly not true, But there are other parts of the game, right, that they lost, right? And I hate when they do that. It doesn't come down to that, but
that's the Zach Harper special right there. Like, hey, by the way, you guys sucked in other areas of the game.
Yeah, I mean, but they did, and that's. I just find it tough to lean on that, right? Like, it's just kind of weak, you know, to me. It's too weak for Julius Randle. I think he's a bit better than that. Yeah, you know, I think he shot 50% from the field. He was aggressive. He probably could have been more aggressive in parts. I do feel like Burks and Fournier were a little bit too shot happy, and sometimes he probably should have took over. But, yeah, I'm with Jay, man. It's Harden and Kevin Durant, and why do you think you're going to get calls? Like, I don't even know what you think. And in the end, yeah, Harden got off, right? Harden had a Harden game, and Brooklyn won by two. Like,
I do love this Knicks bench, though. Man, when Derrick Rose comes in, Emmanuel quickly comes in. Like, Quickly's so fun, and he's going to be so good. Like, he's already good, but he's going to be so good.
Hey, you know he's who quickly I
become
love?
One of your favorite players?
Don't do that.
You know, quickly, you know who I love, Jay?
Hold this, Emmanuel.
Yeah. I low-key love Alec Burks. He has become, like...
Houdini.
He has regenerated his whole career. Oh, this wasn't Utah Alex Burks, right? It's Alec Burks. Yeah. This wasn't... Like, he's just now like, I'm about to go out here and get 25. I'm not going to do anything else on the court but score. It's just weird to see him kind of evolve into that. That dude is a bucket getter. It's kind of weird.
He's had a weird career, man.
Super weird. Like, he was like one of the most clutch players in the league last year. I remember like Mike Breen said it during an MSG. They like, one of the best fourth quarter performers. I was like, get out of here. Then I looked up. I was like, oh shit, he really is like doing that big, that well.
Yeah, he was big. Yeah. It's just weird. It's just the weird.
Knicks
to see
bench is fun, though.
Knicks bench the Knicks is super bench Knicks is fun. Knicks
and
bench
they have Toppin out there. Yeah, just flying
they have the
around.
Most fun bench in the league. Like,
Nerlens Noel, like, who knows what he's going to do at any given time?
Yeah, he might block a shot. He might complain about Rich Paul. Like, we don't know what Nerlens is going to do at any time.
Just don't call it a bench mob or nothing bench. Like that. Be original whenever you coin whatever this contingent will be. It's the most.
You're done with bench mob? Yeah,
bench mob is why. Come with something new.
What would you call
that? Is true. Bench mob was like the Kings with all them dudes.
Derek Martin. Like, I think Derek Martin came up with the bench
Bobby
mob.
Bobby Jackson.
Yeah.
When they had, did they have Hedo on that bench?
Corliss
too?
Hedo. Yeah, man. Lawrence Funderburk. Oh, man. Big nasty Funderburk. Like, that was a team, man. That was a squad.
Yeah, we can't just be handing out bench mobs.
Every now and then, to every good team. Bench. It's like, oh, we got a bench mob. Like, nah, Knicks, don't do that. Come anew. Be original.
We gotta get something else in there. But yeah, no, man, this Knicks bench is the most excited I get. Like, when subs come in, it's just the like when Rose and Quickly come in, I get super excited. And you're right, Obi Toppin too.
Get jacked up.
Oh my God, I'm ready for basketball.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know who's not ready for basketball?
Take three, LeBron James. No LeBron, no problem.
And yet another interesting game on Tuesday night. The Lakers came from behind to beat the Sacramento Kings down 66-52 in the third quarter. The Lakers, sans LeBron, went on a 40-8 run, eventually blowing out the Kings 117-92. Just a little FYI for you, LeBron will be out 10 days for health and safety protocol.
It's Dr. Tuesday!
10 days of film Space Jam 3. I don't know. According to the internet, the Kings had a 94% chance of winning that game, but the stats and info machine didn't quite calculate the if Kings variable. Looks like to me, because if the Kings are involved, they're probably going to fuck it up. Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis combined for 48 points. Malik Monk, brilliant game off the bench, 22 points. Jade, play that tape.
Shot clock down to 7. Man, they're just coming into the ball game, knocking down threes, raining down threes.
Marcus, the Lakers, now 12-11, eighth place in the West. No LeBron, no problem, or Lakers figuring out ways to weather the storm, or are they screwed?
So every time, I got to confess, every time I get so hype about the Kings, I always hear you in my head.
You wanna, you wanna get into this conversation, Mr. Kings?
I tried to tell you every goddamn year. I'm not giving you the moment anymore.
Give it up.
No, I'm not doing
They're
that.
The Kings.
So this doesn't count. It doesn't count. Like, it doesn't matter. You didn't do anything. Okay, you came back on the... You outscored the Kings by 34 points in the second half. Golf clap.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed. And that's because of you, Zach, because I'm done.
Wow.
This is after the 3 overtime loss, by the way.
Like, you are Kate Winslet letting the Kings go into the ocean, just sinking with the Titanic. That's where you are now?
And you know what? Then they get Alvin Gentry, and I'm like, let's go.
You want Alvin to be good, right? Like, Alvin's a guy.
Then Marvin Bagley come out playing well in the first game. I was like
7 good minutes, man. He had 7 good minutes.
I'm not feeling good about the Lakers because they dominated the Kings for a half. I think I need to see more Lakers. I'm sorry.
You know what's crazy? Probably the craziest part about that entire Lakers comeback, that they were actually underdogs in that game against the Sacramento Kings.
That's wild.
Yeah. Legit 1.5-point underdogs against an organization that has just been failing at every turn.
What does that mean? Golden One is a tough place to play. Why? Because you're worried about the sun peeking through. Remember when they didn't account for the sun and there was a glare on the court from the outside?
Jay King, you just don't walk into Golden One and get wins.
You do not just walk into Golden One and come back from a 14-point deficit.
You usually stumble in and just walk out with the win.
But the Lakers, they just... No, don't buy them. No, they haven't. They're in serious trouble. They acquired Russell Westbrook in part because they thought he'd be able to carry them when LeBron wasn't right. They're like minus 5 points for 100 possessions with Russ on the court when LeBron isn't out there. They're a rudderless team right now. I don't think they can fix it. I'm at the point where... Wow. I have given up on the Lakers, even though they've got LeBron, even though they've got Anthony Davis. I don't think this team can build the right type of defensive identity. I don't think they have enough shooting. I don't think there'll be anything no matter what.
Yeah, we talked about this on Basketbuds on Monday. Like,
Marcus, if it wasn't for LeBron, everyone would give up on them.
Oh,
too.
For sure. But yeah, it's out of respect for LeBron, who, by the way, just like keeps finding ways to miss games. But Marcus, like, they just play stupid basketball. They make a lot of dumb decisions as a team full of veterans.
They remind me of the Cavaliers teams when LeBron was there defensively, which is like the worst thing you can say about a team.
Yeah.
But they don't have the supernova offense to counteract that. Like, it's just, that's the problem. It was okay when you were giving up layup after layup, right, when it was like Kyrie, Kevin Love in his prime, LeBron, Kyle Korver, all those guys.
25 to beat you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they were going to score points. Now they don't have that, and they still defend like those Cavs teams do.
The troubling part, if you're a Lakers fan, is, I mean, it is November. It's just, we just got to December. Man, they are having to go all out to win a lot of these games. I mean, this is tooth and nail. I mean, this is like NBA struggle right here. They are pulling out games in November. We know who Anthony Davis is, bro. This is a perfect recipe for breakdown for him. But, I mean, look, they went on a run of their lives to beat the Kings. They have played 4 overtimes in 2 games to beat Indiana and Sacramento. Like, this is all I got, right? We had to fight all our life to get an NBA
Marcus,
win.
It's still wild to me that AD, Russ, and LeBron combined for 150 minutes in a game against the Kings and lost at home. That's wild.
That's, I mean, that's tough.
That's a horrible stat. Like, you can't do that. And yet, yet, out of respect for LeBron,
we holding off because if they
we're not writing them off yet. Exactly.
I just wrote them off. I'm not. Jay's I just wrote them off.
Oh, typical Boston hatred of LA.
It has nothing to do with it. I picked them to win the title, I think, even last season, which was misguided. Yeah. But no, they're done to me.
Wow. Wow.
I just can't do it. I want to be fascinated by the Lakers. Like, it is a fascinating mix. But then you watch them play, and it's just disgusting. It's not even fun to watch. And it should be fun to watch Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James play basketball together. But it's not.
And to think they could have Buddy Hield and Alex Caruso, which they would have better shooting and much, much needed perimeter defense. And they don't have it. They're having to claw for every single victory in November.
I feel like Alex Caruso has to be brought up during every conversation 100%. About the Lakers.
Yeah, 100%.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Because so many of their problems trace back to the fact that they were so dumb to let him go. Like, that could not have been dumber, letting Alex Caruso go. It was the most obvious move of the summer. When he called them and told them, I have this offer from Chicago, they should have said, yeah, we'll pay you that. Absolutely, we'll pay you that. We would love to have you back. You mean so much to our defense. You do everything to make life easier for LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
We made you.
Nah, they looked at Austin
Reeves.
They were like, Austin Reeves and said,
oh, Carmelo, we have Austin a white. Reeves,
we can make this one
Avery
into one too.
Bradley.
Austin, shave your head. We gotta get you into the mold. Get a headband.
Oh man.
Maybe they should launch an investigation into how the Bulls,
Jordan,
into how the Bulls
ended
up.
How many basketball players worse than Alex Caruso can you target in one off season?
It's tough, man.
When you could have just had Caruso.
Because even Malik Monk's, like, not even close to as good as him.
I don't know. When Malik Monk gets hot.
Yeah, once a month when Malik Monk gets hot, it's a problem. All right.
Relax.
What? Oh, sorry. I was just basing that off his career. He's fine. All right. Take four. Dateline, December 1st. According to ESPN, after a four-month investigation, the NBA has punished the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat with the loss of a second round draft pick because of premature discussions, usually pills for that, into the free agency of guards Lonzo Ball and Kyle Lowry. The league announced on Wednesday Chicago and Miami will lose their next available second round pick after the league concluded that the teams had impermissible discussions with representatives of the players ahead of the opening of free agency on August 2nd. In a memo to teams obtained by ESPN, the league wrote both teams fully cooperated with the investigations, which was a factor in the penalties. In a statement, the Heat said, while we disagree, we accept the league's decision. We move on with our season. In a statement from the Bulls, they said, we're glad this process has concluded and look forward to the rest of our season. Why are you putting out announcements for that shit? So stupid, Jay. Has tampering been solved?
This is so stupid. I hate when the NBA actually punishes teams for tampering because it is so obvious that every single team does it. At 6 p.m., on free agency, when teams are supposed to begin being able to start to free agents, it is a swarm, a rush, a wave of signing announcements from Shams, from Woj, and that's just how it is. All these teams have been lining up. They've been talking to guys for weeks, if not months, if not years.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be just stupid enough to get caught, but it's just so absurd by the NBA. If you really want to get rid of tampering, do it in a way that's a lot heavier than a second round pick. If you don't want to get rid of tampering, then let it happen and let it be and change the rules so that it's legal.
Jay, I think they should have tribute videos for guys they want to sign. Like, Lakers come to town. You want to sign Anthony Davis? Like Celtics get to put out a tribute video to Anthony Davis.
That would be amazing because it would also piss off some players on the current
100%.
Team.
Yeah, it lights a fire. It causes some chaos. A little chaos grenade right into the middle of the court right there. Marcus, I feel like tampering happens all the time, right? And so to get busted for tampering and to be mad that you got busted for tampering, it's like getting a speeding ticket, right?
Exactly
you speed all the time.
It's like. No, it's like.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Everyone's going 90 all the time. This time you went 67 into 65, and they're like, "All right, ticket." That's what this becomes.
And it's already written out in the rules that you can't use flow of traffic as as a defense, right? Dude, what you know, everybody's like, you don't get to use that. So if we bust you, you just got to eat it.
Yeah.
You know what? Not only is this ridiculous, which we all know, this is ridiculous, right?
It's stupid.
This is dumb. But you, I know you're joking, but you're so not wrong in how much of a missed opportunity this is. They should go ahead and open the floodgates, go with the rules from the Mac. You know the name of the game. Your girl chose me, right? Like, hey, if you don't want nobody, if you don't want nobody taking your talent, make sure your talent want to stay with you, right? Like that's
right.
They should go with that. But as a newfound F1 fan, this is what's great about F1. Like they will literally go find a new team while they're still right playing.
No, I'm just saying. Like you talk about F1
because it's one of the most popular growing sports in America. People are going crazy.
What's F1?
Oh, come on, you got to know this. Come on. What are you talking about?
Hold on.
He knows what
hold on. Marcus, you know what you were about to say. You know what you stopped yourself from saying.
You know what? Then I realized it wasn't NASCAR.
Marcus wanted to say, you know what it is. You're white. You should know what F1 race is. That's what you were about to say.
No, but then I realized F1 is kind of different than NASCAR. Like, it's a little bit more, European. So I could get why Americans don't get it. But. My point is, like, if you're
the second person hyping up F1 to me over the last constant, 2 weeks.
Man. It's because
stop talking to me about Formula
the
One.
The reason is
not waking up at 5 a.m. to watch dudes go in a circle.
Now, come on,
all you gotta do is drive cars.
Whatever you got on demand. Nobody's buying your 5 a.m. excuse like you.
I know the shit's over at that point. No, now you don't want to watch a race. No, that's done. Don't.
So what? That's not the point. The point is, it's not the racing. It's the drama. It's the storylines. It's the messiness. It all really works. The NBA needs to get rid of tampering and like welcome it and invite it because it adds another layer to the whole like drama of it. Like think about this. If you knew a player was like, hey, I'm being courted by this team. Like remember when Kevin Durant went to New York and he was playing with the Warriors and they had like billboards up and all that. Like what if a city just leaned in?
Remember the Bucks got hit for tampering with their own player with Giannis? They got busted for that's when it got too stupid. When they're like, hey, you can't tamper with this. It's like, that's our guy. What do you mean we can't do this?
Yeah, the only good part of this tampering investigation was the Heat's announcement. Their press statement. Just basically, we disagree. We are moving on with our season.
Yeah, and then just a little Heat logo under the words.
This is such a trivial punishment and meaningless discussion. We're just going to move on. Register our disagreement for the record.
The Heat have the best press statements of all time. They once told Danny Ainge to shut the fuck up.
Pat Riley, Pat Riley will get after it.
That's the greatest one. Special.
Yeah.
That's special. That was the only good outcome of the entire tampering investigation.
Was the message from the Heat?
It was worth it though.
Do you expect tampering to no longer happen if it's going to cost you a second round pick?
What happens to the second round picks? Do they like get donated? Do they end up in some like third world country with the T-shirts from the team that lost the championship?
Yeah, there's 4 first round picks over in a third world country right now from Minnesota in the early 2000s.
That was probably a tough punishment for the Bulls ownership. Honestly, they like to sell their second round picks for like a $1.5 million.
Yeah, that's cash flow right there. Hey, yeah, that's tough.
Cash considerations. Remember Jordan Bell?
Jordan Bell. Yeah. Oh, what a steal it was for the Warriors. And then where the fuck is he now?
Bulls fans were so pissed about that.
They were.
Hey, you got a ring though, right?
Yeah, he did. Now he's with the Warriors G League team.
All right. Shout out to Jordan Bell making it work. All right. It's time for the MVP odds. They're never too soon. Take five. That's right, folks. Quarter of the way through the season, and it's time to look at the race for MVP. So, of course, we head over to our good friends at BetMGM and take a look at the old odds. Steph Curry leading the way right now, plus 140, followed by his old teammate, Kevin Durant, plus 500. Giannis, plus 700. Last year's MVP, Nikola Jokic, plus 1100. And Luka Doncic, plus 2500. Marcus, you get $500 of Jade's money. Where are you putting your money?
Lewis Hamilton.
Fuck does that? Is that for the? Is that what Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote about?
That's a Formula One dude that someone was talking to me about 2 weeks ago. Get this dude Lewis Hamilton out of here.
Name one other racer than Lewis Hamilton.
I swear to God, Lewis Hamilton was the most recognizable athlete. He drives cars. In the entire world.
Is Ronaldo on Mars? Is Messi on Mars? Aren't they in? The fucking race happened at 4 a.m. Of course I'm asleep.
The best part about that was Jay realizing who Lewis was. Yeah. Like, wait a second, I know that name. Hold on. Oh, that's that. That was pretty good. We need to capture that. I'm putting my money on Steph Curry. It's an easy bet. I mean, they're literally chanting his name in other arenas. It's kind of easy money when you think about it. He just has a way of captivating. The Warriors are going to be – they're going to be up there. They're going to get a bunch of wins. They're probably going to have a better record than the others. You know, I'm surprised there's no Devin Booker in that mix with the way Phoenix is going.
Yeah.
Maybe he jumps in at some point. But, you know, Steph's going to break the three-point record, right? Like, he's going to do crazy things. The Warriors are going to be good. And this is kind of easy here.
Jay, you want my little tip here? You go,
yes.
Nikola Jokic. I think the money for him to repeat, if it's plus 1100 and the injuries they have, Michael Porter Jr. like done, Jamal Murray probably, I can't imagine he's coming back, or if he does, not for very long in this season. And then with Jokic, like if he drags this team to like a 5 or 4 seed in the West, which I think is very plausible, that's as impressive as anything that Steph's doing.
Top seed? What are you talking about? Poole's terrible. Now all of a sudden,
what Jokic?
Have
has
you seen
done,
what Jordan Poole's doing the last few games? You see what he did yesterday?
What Jokic has done with that group over the last couple of seasons since Jamal Murray got injured is just ridiculous. When he's playing, they're competitive. They won a playoff series with basically everyone hurt. Like the whole roster was just hurt, and Jokic was out there just dragging Facundo Campazzo and Austin Rivers to a playoff series win in the Western Conference. I agree. You actually took my pick. I was going to pick Jokic, but Curry's going to win it though. Like
probably,
I do
right?
think
yeah.
the money's right on Jokic.
Yeah,
if you want to go for a longer shot, Jokic will have the narrative by the end of the season because he's going to play a bunch of games. They're going to finish fourth. Or fifth seed in the West with nobody on that roster available. But it's going to be Steph, man. The Warriors aren't going anywhere. They're going to win a ton of games. Steph is back. Draymond's going to win DPOY. And then Monty Williams was going to win Coach of the Year.
I do like Giannis, though, here because he helped keep the Bucks afloat when Middleton was out and Brooke Lopez was out and Drew was out. And they'll be within striking range of the one seed in the East. If they go out there and charge through second half of the season – and he's great, and they get the one seed over the Nets. Yeah,
I feel like people are still bored by Giannis, though.
No, but the whole like, man, that conversation of like, I can't vote for him after what he's done in the playoffs and stuff, and then he goes and does that in the finals, and then I think there's going to be a little bit of like, yeah, Giannis, you get to have the MVP again. Like, I do think there's that in the mix, but yeah, Steph's easily the favorite right now.
Yo, Jeff Green and PJ Dozier. Are fifth and sixth on the Nuggets in minutes this season.
I think PJ's hurt too. I think PJ just got hurt. They can't catch any kind of break.
Wow. Bones Highland, though. Let's go.
Bones Highland is my kind of player. He just puts them
up. Hey, yeah, he's a savage. He is a savage. Like, yo, who is this dude just chucking like this?
Yeah, man, he does not care if Jokic is on the floor. He's like, this is my time to shine. Yeah, it's like Bones Highland, like Marcus Howard, who I think is on a two-way deal. Both the Greens. I know he's not there anymore, but it's the ghost of Paul Millsap. Like, it's all these dudes. Like, they don't have anybody for him to. Austin Rivers is now out with, like, you know, health and safety protocol. Jeez, like, they're right. Missing everybody. Yeah. It's just him and Will Barton. It's just Jokic and Will Barton.
And like, that's Aaron it. Gordon, baby.
It's just Jokic and Will Barton. That's it.
And they got pummeled when Jokic wasn't playing,
yeah,
too.
Like, that's just that's another feather, yeah.
And then he comes back in, and instantly they pile up.
Beat the Heat. Wins. Comes back like in, they beat the Heat in Miami. Like, just reminder of, like, yeah, he's going to be –
he means everything.
Yeah. I don't think KD's going to – I don't think KD has a real shot. He should – because that Nets team is actually a lot worse than I think people realize, but I don't think KD's going to.
How, though? Like, I don't even understand it.
He should have a shot. He should have a shot.
He should, but I just, I don't, I'm just like trying to read the tea leaf. Like,
to,
I just don't.
To me, he'd be number two, I think, on my ballot right now would Ooh. Be Kevin Durant. Be Steph Curry one, Durant two. They're 15-6. Harden hasn't been good. Kyrie is off doing God knows what. Joe Harris has been hurt. Blake Griffin just can't even get on the court in the lineup. And 15-6. It's like
Patty Mills, though, man.
LaMarcus, Patty, like they were
Bruce they Brown. Were
LaMarcus, okay, baby. For the Spurs.
Yeah.
LaMarcus, baby, out here. Hey, he don't miss, though. He don't play a lick of defense, but he really don't miss that mid range.
But it's not out of choice. He literally can't move. He
literally,
like, so that's yeah.
Look. You look at their Patty Mills is fourth in minutes at 33. Aldridge 36. Blake Griffin 32. James Johnson is in the mix, right? Like,
yeah.
Like they get young with Javon Carter, right? Like that's it's a weirdly
to be fair. Javon Carter just looks like he's 45, right? He's actually
he's 26, but like that dude. He
Javon Carter's
soul.
Only 26. Yeah. I would have put anything on 26. Him being in his 30s. He's definitely an old
been
soul.
40
he's
since he was soul. In college. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget, subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Blue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and of course, do not forget, What Did I Miss? Michelle Beadle's new podcast on The Athletic, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic and subscribe, you turkeys.
Of his money, $127 million. I thought he deserved a little more, but he would have.